Hani Cheng spent years traveling the world in her corporate career, building what looked from the outside like a successful life. Yet beneath the surface, she felt a deep disconnection from her sensual and authentic self. Answering a powerful inner calling, Hani stepped into her role as a teacher of tantric practices, Taoist principles, and the transformative power of sexual energy. In this conversation, we explore what it truly means to embrace our sexuality, move from judgment into curiosity, and reclaim the fullness of who we are. You'll walk away with practices you can integrate right now, reminders that your sensual self doesn't require outside validation, only your presence and willingness to embody it. We'll see you in the episode. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman, and today I'm sitting with Hani Cheng. We just met, and after that amazing intro I provided for you, I'll just share that Hani is an international transformation coach, tantra and Taoist sexual energy empowerment course creator, author, and dancer. And I just want to say, Hani, thank you so much for being here, and welcome to Mystical Sisterhood.
Thank you for having me, and super excited to connect with all of you and with you who is listening.
Yeah.
And also with you, Maureen. It was such a beautiful connection yesterday when we had our pre-chat before this podcast, and I just felt your light and your openness and your vision for the future so inspiring.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And just to sit together in that energy and know that everything being brought forward is opening. I just have that vision of sort of like a path that's ever widening, and just more and more beautiful work is being birthed into the world. I think that you have this beautiful blend. When I had come upon your work and read about you, I'm like, oh, Hani's got a really different blend of work. And so today we're going to kind of span a few different topics for sure. But I had put out there that what attracted me, I think, is your description of how you work with shamanic breath work, with tantric and Taoist practices, and how that relates to inner transformation and your background in the corporate world. And so when I look at that, I think it's such an interesting blend to be blending corporate leadership skills, and then we've got the sexuality and sensuality pieces over here. But can you just first tell us a little bit about how your current body of work came to be?
Long story, super long story. Went through like a self-healing journey where I was healing a disease that was an involuntary, like physical disease that lasted for 15 years, which no doctors could figure out, which sent me to study every modality that I could get my hands upon that I resonated with to see if I could self-heal. So that journey took me into many, many, many different dead ends. And that's what landed me into energy work, inner work, and changing mind to change body. So the connection between mindset, energy, perspective, and then what creates tension and stress, and then how that's contributed to physical ailments. And when I healed from that and actually found out it was a very existential crisis of like actually needing to live an aligned life. And that was a message behind that disease. Like, you know, either you say yes to alignment, you say yes to what is birthing through you at this moment, or, you know, we're not going to let you live healthily. So I made a deal with myself. And that's what set me on to understanding that, wow, like, you know, in order to live fulfillingly, I need to do whatever it takes to really clear out limitations within myself, especially when it came to limitation around how to create a life of authenticity. And what does abundance mean from an authentic perspective, not societal imposed ideas of what success was. And so my first transformation was around alignment, around redefining success, which is where then I put everything I learned into a book, You Only Live Once, Life in Business Innovation Style, and then started traveling around the world sharing that. So that was sort of that first iteration of this work, being a leadership coach, being a transformational coach, helping people in corporate get into their first passions and businesses. And then what I realized is that the more spiritual or more energetically aware I became, the more I realized that, you know what, there's so much within us that required healing or that invited healing to react, to walk away from reaction and more walk into choice. And so every time I got stressed out or every time I felt low or contracted, I asked myself, where is this feeling coming from? And that's when I realized that, you know, emotions and our day-to-day peace is contingent upon the internal railway center of our energy and our management and our interpretation of the world. And so when I started realizing that, even on a deeper level, it's always been very clear to me. However, like when I realized that, you know, we can't think our way out of situations, a lot of it we need to transform to jump into another paradigm. A lot of your work as well in paradigm shifting things, that then we have to change our identities in order to get to a new place. And that's when I started working with stuff that's beyond the brain, energy work, shamanic work, healing journeys with gongs. At one point, I was definitely having lots of meditation courses in the middle of Central in Hong Kong, and like helping people go through a transformational journey through shamanic breath work to honor the vibration of emotions, to move them through the body so that it doesn't stay there to impact the thinking. And then from there was when I realized that, wow, like this created more permanent change for folks and went much deeper and was able to not only just help my clients on a way that helped them create differences in their life, it also helped them shift even what they wanted in a way that made them even happier in a deeper way. A lot of people are afraid of change because they feel like, what if I don't want any of this? And I just want to be a monk on a mountain and sit there and don't. So I'm not even going to go try this because I'm afraid of what at the end of it, I'm not going to like what I see. And so a lot of this work is actually getting more in tune with who you are. And the truth is you can always choose. And then from there, I realized that this hustle culture was super effective at getting people results, but it burnt people out completely. And I realized I took the corporate ambition and fervor and intensity into my work. And that wasn't necessarily the most loving and kind and organic and playful way that I desire to exist. And also pushing so hard for results felt very unnatural and inorganic in some ways, even though I knew I had it in me to do it. And so I started looking at, you know, sustainability and energy effectiveness and management and asking the question of, how can I create energy that just keeps giving back? I had a meaningful, fulfilling life because I was helping a lot of people. I was doing my personal transformations. Every time I transformed into a new level, I had more resources to give to my clients and to support them, right? We always have to walk through the fire hoop, jump through that before we can take someone else and teach and share how we did it and then find their own way through the loop of fire. And then that's when I stumbled. Not stumbled. That's when I guess I accepted my calling to delve into sensuality and sexuality, because I realized that that life force energy is something beyond taboo, is our acceptance of a natural excitement and a natural aliveness that lives within us. And that's when I was like, you know what? I love this stuff. And I always endeavor to go to the furthest end to see like where's the truth and where's the juiciness of this. And I had it as personal hobby or interest or curiosity. And it wasn't until I realized that, you know, this really helped people become more sovereign, more autonomous, more choice-based, more clear, that I used the perspectives of acceptance within sexuality to inform an outward confidence in humans that I worked with, and that created a lot more alignment from the That's deepest parts within mm-hmm. you to mm-hmm. the most external pieces of our, the extension of how we show up.
That's beautiful. I love the process that you went through. I can see you at the different stages, like first, like being so curious, and we'll talk about curiosity too, but pulling in the different modalities for your own healing. And as you grow and transform and change and see things in newer and different ways than you did even like 3 months before, right? That your work is ever evolving, sort of like a spiral in a sense, where you're just becoming more and more maybe acutely aware of what's for you and what's meant to be your work to do here. And also like just being sort of an edge walker in the sense that you were having this calling come down, and then it's like that willingness to step into it. Because I think many people have that kind of the breadcrumbs on the trail, and for whatever reason may not go in that direction, but it keeps coming back to you, I think, when it's meant for you. Do you find that?
So the yes and no. So mm-hmm. I think that the breadcrumbs are really whispers a lot of the time. They give us a lot of autonomy, right? Your path, it oftentimes whispers a million things or a million times, and you can choose not to listen to it, just like how you would ignore mm-hmm. someone on the street being like, hey, miss, can I have a minute of your day? I'm like, mm-hmm. no, I'm busy right now. So the breadcrumbs are sort of like that, right? You're calling your purpose, like, and they whisper. And if you don't want to listen to them, you can just kind of like, you know, shoo them off. And I found that like when my self-healing journey, I had no other choice. And so I had to listen to it, because it got to the point where I was like, you know what? I cannot live with a disease that was affecting me 10 times a day for 15 years. And this, and then so in 2015 was when I was like, okay, this is done. I will do whatever it takes. So I was ready to listen. I was ready to hear. So I think readiness is so important. And then once I jumped through that hoop, then I was like, okay, cool. I just need to figure out how to live my life and make money doing what I love. Then it was more like, then the next breadcrumbs came in and I was like, but that's not what I thought I wanted. Like, that's not what was shown to me in the beginning. Why do I have to do stuff around sensuality? Like, why can't I just have that for myself? Why is that my path right now? And then it's just sort of like, embrace it. You know, how can you integrate that? Like, if this is what naturally lit me up, like, how can I then step in through to that? And then when I did that, and then suddenly all these doors opened, all these clients stepped through, and I was just like, wow, this is so much easier when I'm working with flow. Yeah it's not easy, because I feel like there's a lot of resistance in being like, you know, I finally got comfortable, I finally set the systems in the business, I finally, you know, we had done like hundreds, like 800 over events, and I was like traveling through all the festivals and doing healing work, and I'm doing shamanic work, and then suddenly it's like, oh wait, actually sensuality.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great. Now I gotta go do that. But so I feel like it's a relationship to our higher selves, or I call it our infinite beings and our infinite bodies, and being open to it. It's not necessarily the most comfortable or desirable connection, because sometimes it gives us messages, or it gives me messages at times that may not feel that may not feel like what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And then I've got to ask, is this authentic? Is this true? Am I ready to do this, even though I had a different comfort zone? And sometimes it's like, yes. And then I'll be like, okay, can I have 6 months? can I have another year? Can you help me?
Exactly.
The reward is flow. The reward is ease. The reward is when we're working directly with creation, the reward and alignment, and we're aligned to answer these callings. The reward is, and I'm talking about like the true calling, not something that is an ego type of calling. It's not something that is sort of like inserted into your world because of fear or greed or scarcity. It's really something that comes from a place of abundance. It comes from a place of authenticity. So you're really like clearing out all the other possible voices, maybe thousands of them, staying super clear. And so when the receiving is coming, there's a resonance of truth that every fiber of your being is like, okay, this is what it is.
Yeah. This
sometimes
is what
it's like,
it is.
Yes. Sometimes it's like, Oh, really? And you know the truth is
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So when we get into the topics now, if we can, of how you define your work around sensuality and sexuality, are they blended concepts? Is one distinct from one another? How might the listener think of that? Because you're right, that even when we have a topic that seems like, oh, this is broad and general, it's not one we're having very often at all in our lives.
Sensuality is our senses, right? Engaging with our senses. So this is about enjoying your body. This is about really being connected. And our sexuality, in my personal view of it, and it continues to evolve, right? Our relationship is our relationship to our life force is what I call our sexuality. And that sexuality can be expressed in the comfortability we are in our bodies, or that I am in my body, the connection I have with my pleasure, the connection I have with my existence itself. And I find that there's quite a big blend between sensuality and sexuality, in the sense that you're enjoying. There's an element of joy. There's an element of sensitivity to the senses. And there's an element of pleasure. And the pleasure piece goes more than into the sexuality as well.
Okay.
So sensuality doesn't have to be sexual. It can simply mean eating bread or eating your favorite food in a slow way that you're enjoying every unit of that pleasure. Now, sexuality is inclusive of desire and arousal and expression of your enjoyment of life itself.
Okay.
So that can be attraction to a human, that can be attraction to life itself. So I do believe that sexuality can be a very independent experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't always
like
need
it
to be.
Yeah, I like the way you describe that, the sensuality. It's funny because when I think about that word, sensuality or sensual, it feels distinct. And I think it's the way that we've been conditioned, where you're in school, at least here in America, you're in school and you learn about your five senses, right? And it's very like textbook, the way you learn, the way you memorize, but there's a lot of awareness in sensuality and being in tune with our senses. It feels like awareness, and there's just levels of it in a sense. And then when you talk about that sexuality, I like that angle you're talking about that creative fire and that relationship we have with that part of us. It's very exciting to think about that in a new way.
Yeah.
That's bigger and broader. And it's not only how we've been sexualized. I think you said that when we were talking about, was it conscious versus unconscious sexuality? Is that how you said that?
Yeah, there's a way, there's different ways how we engage in our sexuality. We can engage with it unconsciously, which we allow our limbic brain to lead, right? Our primal, basic animal self. And we can just go for whatever arouses us and excites us, but may not be good for our humanity and maybe dangerous, you know, may be toxic, right? But it's like something super exciting, something that gets us going, something that oftentimes it appears in teenage years, where the hormones, it's a very chemical attraction. And conscious sexuality also can be chemically induced.
Okay.
And at the same time, is also conscious, right? So understanding and having worked through, let's say, your attachment wounds and the traits of what you desire in an ideal partnership, and also looking at what kind of energies would be mixing if you were to engage in a sexual interaction with someone, or even in the way that you engage with yourself sexually, right? Erotically, self-touch, physical love, if we're looking at it through that lens. And that can be very, very conscious, being very intentional about it, removing stigma, removing preconceived scripts of how to self-pleasure, understanding that self-pleasure is a caretaking moment rather than a forceful, stimuli-driven goal that needs to be chased and forced into being, right?
It's really beautiful. Like,
It's not goal oriented, right? So conscious sexuality is really about how do we make more love? And that love is in the way that I teach it, in the way that I view it, it's more about expression of love and using our body as an instrument to express more love. And that love could be personal, that love could be shared.
Well, I love that difference. And I'm thinking about like how I think the media affects us, and especially, well, all time, but we talked about it when we met, is that that idea of how we were conditioned to think that we had to go outside of us for validation. And yesterday we were talking about the male gaze and this outward gaze that can lure us in. And I was thinking the concept of the male gaze, I hadn't even heard about until I read a headline with Demi Moore. And I don't know if you saw that, but it was like how Demi Moore doesn't play into the male gaze any longer. But I wanted to get your thoughts on that and how, what is going on when our consciousness may still be in this looking to the outer for any sort of validation, especially sexual.
When we're looking externally for validation in any form, right? Whether that is a report card grade or a certificates or for your sexuality, like what is, like, we're looking, you want to look at the bottom of it. Are we looking for confidence? What are we looking for validation? Is it our existence, our attractiveness? But why, right? Like what about, why does our attractiveness get defined? Why are we so interested in being attractive? Because does that mean we have higher value? And why does value need to be a competitive measurement? Why can't we be valuable as someone who is in integrity with our personal values, right? Why isn't that the measuring stick for that? And so when we're looking at outside validation, what we're essentially doing is we're giving other people the measuring stick of our existence. And so when we're describing embodying sexuality or embodying sensuality, yesterday we had a long conversation or a deep unfolding around this topic, is we actually are. So the context is, if you're wearing something or you're showing up in a way that is for the pure purpose of making, creating attention so that you can feel better about yourself, there's nothing wrong with that, right? That is totally cool. You can get highlights in your hair, have lip tattoos, and, you know, show and work out and feel good and to enjoy the attention or enjoy just being an attractive human in the world. However, if it only becomes an issue if you don't feel good when there isn't that feedback loop. So there's a very nuanced version of it being dependent on it versus allowing that to come from an abundance. And a more interesting way of looking at it is, how can we create the existential validation from within? How can I feel attractive is the question, or what habits and feeling and state within me do I embody in order to feel attractive? Like, what does attractiveness feel like, right? And then go from a place of the feeling. Is it being able to feel light and skipping through, you know, like walking with a smile on my face? Is that what attractiveness feels like? Is attractiveness feeling like energy can run through my body without blocking? So is it when I'm having a lovemaking session that I don't hesitate or I don't restrict the amount of pleasure that I receive because I don't get overwhelmed by having too much attention? Or like, what does attractiveness and self-confidence feel like from within, right? And then from there, identifying what are inhibitions to that, and then doing the inner work to really look at the pipes that are within us to do that cleaning of the pipes so that more of that essence can come through the deepest parts of us. And I think for So that we're not doing sexuality for the male gaze. We're not doing sensuality for, oh, I'm an empowered sensual woman. We're not doing for the label of freedom and the label of femininity. We're doing it because it feels good. And good can mean different for different people. And sensuality can mean so different for different people. If you ask someone who's like in their 80s or in their 90s, sensuality and sexuality could be a completely different definition than someone who's in their 30s or in their 60s or, you know, and or in their 20s. And so being able to update our self-concept of that and not being attached to a certain age group and a certain definition of that is also very freeing.
I love it. I think the conversation, when you're describing all the parts of it, it feels like a love story. It feels like we're falling in love with ourselves. And what does it mean when we take that gaze inward and take, like, how do I find myself attractive, or how do I embody that? And I believe it to be true what you're saying too, that like even where you started today and you said, you know, I learned about the mindset, and then I learned about the energy, and then I learned how a shaman would work with this. Like all the different ways, I was going to say that all brings us back. It's all of it, right? And that's why I think that someone like you is pulling in the modalities. But to me now, it's just like I do see that visual of that sort of inside out, and that almost like that gaze on yourself, the witnesser. And, you know, yesterday you talked a lot about the curiosity versus judgment. And yeah. I would imagine that's a very big part of your work, because we have just been fed a diet of judgment, self-judgment in our lives.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So just wanting to clarify as well, we're not rejecting the male gaze. We're simply receiving it from a perspective of what is beneficial, we'll receive it, and what is non-resonant, we won't. So it's more about curating what mm-hmm. is of service to your unfolding. So that's sort of like that aspect. And then now judgment and curiosity. A lot of people, not a lot, maybe a lot, who knows? Anyway, there are people, as you're stepping into your journey of sensuality, sexuality, sovereignty, tuning into your infinite being, tuning into your infinite body, tuning into your infinite pleasure, and stepping into a world where some of these concepts haven't been married. We actually talked about really early on as well, like leadership. How does leadership work into mm-hmm. all of this? How can we be a full human being that embraces both of our brains, our effectiveness in the world, our community, leadership, and then also our sexuality and our sensuality, right? How can we be a full human and show up in the world is really about what it is. And so judgment, definitely going to come. What's the root of judgment? It's a interpretation of what you're doing. It's assumption based. It is a right or wrong condemnation, maybe. You're doing it right. Oh my God, we love you. Oh my God, you are wrong. Okay, completely canceled. It's mm-hmm. a black and white thinking. It's polarity. Judgment is, what's the purpose of judgment? How does judgment, like, where does judgment even come from, right? So from, we were talking about this yesterday as well. Like, if you're super busy, you have no time, you're pulled in 1,000 different directions, maybe you have a house full of kids to feed and having to work multiple jobs and you don't have a lot of time, judgment might be very useful to make decisions. It takes less mental space to analyze everything from every direction and to be very open-minded. So judgment serves its purpose in a time crunch and in a world where you need to just function, right? It's a very survival. It could be positive in a way that it helps things work. And then it also could be negative if it starts limiting your vision and making you less inclusive of everybody. So curiosity now is the opposite of that. Some people may be existing completely different from your world, and they may be pursuing their own evolution and their own exuberance and embodiment. And then this particular conversation, we're talking about life force, right? How life force runs through this human and how they've decided to make choices that allow them to perhaps showcase or embody who they are. So curiosity is more about That's very different from how I grew up. That's very different from my perspective. That's very different from my background. That's very different from the choices I would make. And maybe I even disagree with it. But instead of making that the other, the enemy, something that is threatening, let me see if there is a commonality that we can find, or maybe let me understand it a little bit better. Let me know more. It's coming from a place of openness. And when we do that, we allow our worlds to open. In NLP, neuro-linguistics program, when we talk about, like, there are two types of people. Some people find similarities, matches, and some people find mismatches. So some people just go through life and be like, that doesn't match. That doesn't match. Nope, nope, nope. And just, they're just looking at all the things that they can criticize or kind of mismatch with. And then some people are very drawn towards, oh, let me find that similarity. Let me see how I can expand. Now, let me see like-minded people. So it really is up to you how you want to live your life. What I find is curiosity opens your world. Curiosity creates more intimacy and more connection. Curiosity creates more empathy and compassion, whereas judgment creates more separation. Judgment creates more misunderstanding. And judgment might not always be based on the truth. After something has happened and it's like a negative experience, you can always choose to remove that from your life. Without judgment, too. You'd be like, yeah, it's just simply not for me.
Everything you're touching upon today, too, it's bringing back to this power of choice, right? And I'm going to lay it out for you in these different ways. And you still get to choose. You get to choose that direction of your life. And at the same time, you know, I studied with someone recently who was saying, like, when we think about free will and then choice, we do have to look at what our subconscious blocks are, because they inform the choices we're making, the free will we're making at the time. So I know that that's incorporated in your world too. When you talk about, like, clearing the pipes or seeing where the blockages lie, and it's very holistic work. It kind of touches upon all parts of our humanness, our beingness.
And every wound as well. You know, I'm making this choice because of fear of an abandonment. I'm making this choice of fear. You know, I'm making this choice of not believing that another opportunity is going to come along. So I'm going to take a subpar thing to tide me over. Like, there's every single choice you make it consciously. Know that, you know, this is why I'm doing this. And then remember the origin. Remember what it feels like should be 100% aligned. So it's really about alignment and what it means to answer to your truth. I think this whole conversation is about, what is the truth of who I am today? What is the truth of my infinite being today? What is the truth of what my body desires? And they may have completely different answers. My being and my spirit may want something, and my body, or I might be getting a message from my spirit, my being, my infinite being. I might be getting another message from my infinite body. They might be conflicting. And then also creation itself running through my system, right? They might have three different voices. And so then to have and then multiple other things that I may allow into my life. Okay, there's a society that I need to care about. I can do whatever I want. And at the same time, I also would like to be included somewhere or form or shape in the society. So then also keeping that in mind, right? And not completely neglecting that, and finding that overlap of, okay, how can we all play together in a way that is with as little limitation or no limitation as possible? What is the truth? Is it the end of the question?
Well, I think that you're igniting so many wonderful questions and openings. Like, when I listen to you and that playful nature, you know, I know on your website, I'll just direct the listeners to check out your website too, because I just took a look at it last night, but just there's a lot of more description about Tantra, tantric practices, and all the things included in that. And I kind of, like, as you're describing your work today and sharing with us, and I'm thinking about you and all these different things you're bringing in, it's like when you sit and work with an individual or a couple, do you feel like it's the energy of a shaman, the energy of an energy practitioner? Is it just, does it even matter what we call it in a sense? Is it just your presence that is present, I guess?
It's such a cute question. Thank you for asking that. What is happening when you're working with people? Are you channeling? Are you shamanic? I feel like it's all of them, you know? I connect to my healer self big time. A lot of my clients tell me, so I do a lot of tantric work, breath work, meditation. So I've studied and worked with a lot of modalities, more than 30. And my favorite ones are breath work. So I take breath as the rhythm, like the drum. Breath work is number one. And then I also work with intention. I work with the infinite being, infinite body, infinite pleasure. So I bring that into the space, the persons, the couples, and also the groups, right, into the space. And mine as well. So we're all in our highest expression and our most infinite expression of ourselves. So then at this point works. And then I do like meditation work and trance work, transcendental work to expand ourselves. And then I bring us back into our body because we need to be out there and at the same time in here. So I bring us back into the body. And then I work with sensations and sensation. So the energy piece, I would say, is highly advanced energy work. And then shamanic work is in the clearing of the energy, because in order to get to an expanded state, we need to let go of the work stress, the family demands, all the little things, the decisions we're making in our lives. We need to let go of them in order to be beyond them. And so once I get everyone into a state of beyond and expansion, then we work with the body. Now, how can this energy that we're accessing that's in this expansive world where we can feel the end of the universe be brought into this body? And how can this body embody this energy? And that's how I work with sexuality and sensuality. And it's a very relaxing experience in the first portion, just breathing through that, letting our bodies be filled up with that like hot spring or that top of the mountain spring water that is, you know, the most resourced source water energetically, drinking it into the body. And what does that feel like to have clarity in that sense, right? Beyond our identities. And that's usually the first portion. And then we start inviting more sensation, more love, more connection, more infinite unconditional love. I work with the energy of love a lot. And how would love express itself through you at this moment? And then I work with the sensation of pleasure and inviting arousal. And sometimes it's more healing, right? Sometimes when I work with people, emotions show up, you know, because when they feel safe. And the main thing people always tell me is, I feel so safe, so comfortable to myself around you. No, and I wouldn't say it's, yes, I'm holding the space. But I wouldn't take the credit for like being being the person that is holding the safety. However, the safety I feel is existent when we are not judging, when we are curious.
Exactly. That's what I was just thinking. You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not something that I do, you know, it is something that, because I don't do that to myself, I naturally extend it to another.
Yeah.
Right? You're, it's not something that I'm pretending to be non-judgmental.
Absolutely. You are. You've practiced it. So I know, honey, too, we're kind of coming to the end of our time together today.
Yeah.
If you had just, you know, one or two things how someone might become more in tune with either the sensuality or sexuality today in their everyday life, what would that invitation look like?
It would be to breathe into your genitals.
Okay.
And then allow that sensation to spread, which is actually also a continuation of the last topic. At the end, I just allow whatever sensations to flow through the body. So allowing sensations, and give yourself 5 minutes, 1 minute, and embody that in a in a sound. Okay. So just breathe into whatever you feel like in your body. You can do it with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then just let out a sound.
Yeah. That feels
expansive. Then just let that resonate.
Yes. Yes. It's enlivening our senses and how
it's accepting the moment.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. And Anywhere you want to direct the listener to find out more about your work?
TantraSingapore.com, https://TantraSingapore.com. I work online with anyone who is interested in expanding pleasure. We do work on orgasms, multiple orgasms, and, you know, the idea of love running through you and dealing with all kinds of confidence.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and then also YOLO Abundance if you would like to check out some of the other energy work stuff.
Okay, I know that you cover just so many things, but including and specifically for, you know, sensuality and sexuality. But thank you so much for being with us. Thank you to the listeners for being here with us as well. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my 1-on-1 coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.